Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to the show. Dare to Dream, a top-ranked, award-winning podcast to the show that dares to explore the multidimensional, the mysterious, and the miraculous. Today, JJ Brighton is going to join me. She is a multidimensional channel, starseed linguist, and a 5D grid worker. Stay tuned for a galactic conversation that awakens your soul and rewires your reality. This podcast is sponsored by Dr. Dane Heer and Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. So if you'd like to become a facilitator or join one of their classes, go to drdaneheer.com. You can get your free gift, a starseed video and report. Find out which species, plural, of starseed you are. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And I'm a Debbie with an I. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. I am doing monthly shamanic healings. People show up and just sit back and relax and receive. I'm getting testimonials from somebody who's 50 years old and has been smoking and didn't have a cigarette after attending one of these shamanic healings. Somebody else who said her whole career opened up, and way more. I love hearing from you guys. I am grateful to know that this is working for you. So join us. The next one is on Tuesday, and I set it up at a time so wherever you are in the world, you can join on Zoom. You want to go to my website, debbiedashinger.com, and it's /healing, debbiedashinger.com/healing. Sign up now for next week's healing, and you can each month, any day, go to that same link, hold on to that, bookmark it, because that's where you'll sign up for the next months. And finally, I am speaking aboard a cruise ship going to Greece and Turkey in March 2026. People are reserving their cabins. This is amazing. We're going to go on land, and we have a lot of mystery school experts who are going to be taking us through Delphi and all these amazing places. I am so excited. 10 days visiting these places. And I spoke on a cruise, you might remember, last year to the Yucatan. So this one now, we're really going abroad. Just join me. Put my name down for the reference. It's mysteryschool@sea.com. Of course, that's S-E-A. mysteryschool@sea.com. Love to see you there and get to know you. You really get to know people on these cruises. It's super beautiful, the connections. On to the show. My guest, JJ Brighton, is a galactic channel, light language mentor, grid worker, and ambassador of the Council of Star Mothers. She activates crystalline ascension templates and supports others in unlocking their soul's codex through light language and multidimensional remembrance. As the creator of the multidimensional soul integration modality, JJ guides a global starseed community through mentorship, group journeys, and over 100 light language activations shared on her YouTube channel. She's based in Los Angeles, and she weaves planetary service with a grounded family life. If you'd like to learn more about JJ, go to her website at activationswithjj.com. Also, in November, JJ is speaking in West Virginia at the Channel Panel. You guys will remember I spoke there in January in Sedona. Beautiful event. You want to join her and the other cast of amazing channels and speakers. You can go to this website to get your tickets, debbiedashinger.com/channel panel. And we'll say all of that again at the end of the show. Plus, it will be in the show notes. And with that, I welcome JJ Brighton to Dare to Dream. So good to have you.
Hi, Debbie. So excited to be here with you. I could listen to your voice all day long. I just have to witness and honor that even just knowing your experience in the industry before you got into the spiritual side, your vocal transmissions, just the way you speak, the K, it's just like, oh, I could just keep listening to you. I love it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I received that. I've heard before. And so I love that I'm doing the right thing in this lifetime.
Yeah,
Yes.
you are.
And so are you. I mean, it's magnificent. We'll just tell the folks a little behind the scene. You and I met when we were both interviewed earlier this year on Gaia TV. And if you want to check out JJ, by the way, on Gaia or me on Gaia, go to debbie-dinger.com/Gaia. GAIA and watch our interviews. They were fairly close together.
Yeah.
And then we took the shuttle back to the airport, the limo, really, back to the airport together. And that was beautiful. And here we are, small
And
world.
here we are. And we're both in LA. We're both based out of LA, which was so fun to connect there. I love building soul family community and just, I am a connector by nature and by soul purpose. One of my biggest roles is to connect. And I think that's reflected in even grid work, because grid work is so much about connection. But I'm so excited to be here with you. And yeah, we can dive into all these multidimensional places and spaces.
I'm excited to do that. When you say that you're a galactic channel, I just want to, for my own mind and curiosity, have you had direct extraterrestrial contact experience?
So I in the physical,
Yeah.
I guess I should
Well,
ask that. Yeah.
you tell us.
So okay, it start there starts to become a gray area when you get in when you're a realm traveler and you're going here, there, and everywhere with all of the realms and all of the places and all of the things. And so I absolutely have definitely felt and received the presence of interdimensional beings, galactic family members. Last year, the 888 portal, some of you probably remember that really incredible portal that we experienced. That particular portal date was very special to me. I was at Mount Shasta and I was able to witness visually with my own eyeballs, physical eyeballs, a star, mo the mothership, the star mothers came in. A mothership through a wormhole, right over Mount Shasta, and then it came in. I don't know if you've ever had people talk about how the wormholes work, but when they come in the wormhole, it's all discombobulated and taken apart. It feels like it's just fragments, and so you see like all these sprinkling lights come out of this wormhole, and then it comes into its form, and it was a triangle shaped ship. And then it just took off, and it was a huge confirmation for me because we were actually leading a conference that was like overlit by the Star Mothers. The Star Mothers Council was actually a big part of who we called in. And so that's my most intense physical experience with galactic contact. But I do work with interdimensional beings all of the time, and they are my family, and I am them, and they are me.
Totally, yes. And when you say star mothers, I've never heard that before. And I've heard many things. Who are the
Yeah.
star mothers?
So I do have to give credit. Some of the pioneers in this area are connected to Kryon. So
Oh, beautiful.
Amber Wolf, yeah, Dr. Amber Wolf, she is connected to the Lemurian star mothers. And so from the Lemurian star mothers, I literally was just, reviewing that information one day, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and that name came in, right? So sometimes when you're introduced to a concept, it's like, oh, like you can just feel like that's significant for me. And so from that point on, I wove that into sessions. I had the Star Mothers coming through for myself and through people I was working with. And then I created a beautiful year-long container called Star Mothers Worldwide, which was intended to anchor these Star Mother frequencies onto the planet with over 1,000 people that were part of that container. And we absolutely really amplified the frequency of the Star Mothers on the planet. Now that has come to completion, I have expanded the community to be basically star families. And so we include the star mothers, the star fathers, and the galactic children, the crystalline children that are embodying on the planet. This is very reflective of my life. My husband and I have been married for 27 years and we have 8 children. And so it's absolutely part of my soul template, if it wasn't already obvious, to be an ambassador of families. And so around the time that the Star Mothers was birthed, I kept feeling into a different template that I was connecting with. A lot of people connect with what they refer to as the Galactic Federation of Light, but it like wasn't resonating with me anymore. So then they stepped forward as like the Galactic Family of Light and the Star Mothers, and they said, "We want it to be family oriented. We want you to bring in the family into this so it doesn't feel so stuffy and official." And so from that point forward, even with the completion of that container, I still overlight. You know, I feel the Star Mothers overlighting everything that I do, along with the crystalline children who step forward and the galactic, you know, star fathers. And everywhere I go on the planet, whenever I do grid work, I honestly, whenever, especially when I'm connecting with Earth, representatives of the Earth Mothers and the Earth Fathers, let me put it that way. So people who are living on their, you know, their lands of their ancestors, I 100% feel like I'm connecting with my role as on the Council of Star Mothers as an ambassador. And what that means is the Star Mothers and the Star Fathers essentially seeded humanity. And so all of what we were experiencing on this earth plane was, you could say, a big experiment. I have other opinions about exactly what it was designed to do and then what it kind of veered off. You know, we know this. It sort of went sideways for a while and we're like, okay, let's get back. But they have a huge care and concern as parents would for their children, for humanity. Now, the interesting thing is that some of these star mothers and star fathers have incarnated now into human incarnations and are walking the earth. From the inside, you know, the ground crew, as we are definitely still connecting with our galactic councils above. But being in those fields of energy feels so safe, comforting, and connected in a way that, again, is a little bit different than we sometimes get the galactic politics feel. So that's kind of how I associate, you know, and how I define the Star Mothers from my perspective. And hopefully that gives you know, a good idea of where we're at with it.
Yeah. And so have you always been on this journey, this multidimensional journey, and this starseed linguist experience? Or did something happen in your life that initiated all of, activated all of this inside of you?
Yeah, I would say I was definitely not raised with a concept of like star beings. I was more raised through traditional Christianity, so absolutely angels and ancestors, right? Like very connected to ancestors and ancestral energies. Mediumship was always there for me. My father passed away at a young age, so I mean that just opened me. You know, m many of us who are mediums, we've had something like that that has opened the door to our gifts. And being raised in Christianity, it was a very open, it was a pretty open platform for receiving literally like messages from heaven. And that's how I saw it back then. Of course, now heaven is like all the dimensions of light, you know, and all the beings of light. And I think I was probably still connecting with interdimensional beings. I feel like sometimes they just come in according to our framework. So for me, it would have been like, oh, it's an angel. Well, it might have been a Pleiadian. But I felt like it was an angel. And then when I turned 40, I had a big stage in my awakening, you could say, where I began to see that the organized religion that I was in, Christianity, was confining for me. It felt confining. Now, this is my personal perspective. I still hold space for anybody and everybody and whatever belief systems they adhere to. But for me, it felt like there was this ceiling that I wanted to go beyond it. And I began exploring other things. I just started to entertain the idea that there was more than just this concept. And so I ended up At that time, I had already been practicing energy healing for 6 years, about 6 years. But even ever since I was little, my mom was very open to energy and the idea of energy flowing through the body. So, sort of that Eastern medicine, meridians and things. So, that obviously was a wonderful stair step into where I am today. But the galactic piece and the light language, which again, you're referring to starseed linguists, that came in almost all at once. As I was working through grid work, I was connecting with land spirits and earth ancestors. And a lot of my light language at the first was earthy codes. And I would tune into the land, and these song lines would come up. And I would just start being hiking and I would just start singing. And then I was introduced to someone who many of us know and love, and that is Dolores Cannon. And so when I was, my friend felt called to share with me the Convoluted Universe Book Five. That's where I started. That was my entry point into Dolores Cannon. Once I read that book, in the matter of like 3 months, I read pretty much all of her books. And I felt her very strongly in my field. And we know that she's still mentoring people from the other side. I mean, I know that she is. She has a very strong interest in Earth and humanity. And she contributed so much to the opening up people to the idea of interdimensionals without the fear. She would go to those UFO conferences and she'd say, guys, it's all part of the plan. Like, remember, it's so she would try to diffuse, like, oh, they're against us and they're out for us and all of this. And so once she opened me up to that, then everything just blew wide open. I mean, I was channeling first a lot of the Elohim energy, then the Arcturians came in because I have an aspect that's Arcturian. So the ninth density Arcturians came in, and you can kind of like anybody who wanted to. I don't know that anybody would because it'd be kind of time consuming. But if you go back to my YouTube channel and you go all the way back to like 2021, you can literally see, all of the as it opened up for me, all of the different beings. And I was just like, I'm a radio station for all starseed linguist, and then all the light languages came through. And I have to say, I 100% embrace this as my unique template that I'm holding on the planet. Not everybody does channel the multitude of galactic beings, but what has been dropping into my awareness into in intuition, even in the last maybe a couple of months. Like, I did not realize this until I paused to think about it. But what I feel that I'm doing, in addition to some of the other roles I'm playing as a way shower, and all of us are in this together, I'm a galactic convergence point for galactic frequencies to harmonize. And it's important for us to do that because Earth is also a galactic convergence point. She's an energy node that is essentially harmonizing some of the conflict that has occurred from separation in the universe, in the, well, the galaxy, I would say, predominantly our galaxy. So between Lyra and the different planets in Lyra, the different planets in Orion, there's been wars. We know it's as above, so below. Okay. But it's like healing and reconciling those lineages within and without. And so as I'm channeling all these frequencies, I've received confirmation and validation that me and many of you who may be listening to this, if this is feeling, like activating for you, we are galactic convergence points. That's one of the roles that we have. So and that was not a nutshell, but in that long explanation, that's how I got to where I am today.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Amazing awakening, amazing journey. And when you talk about all these beings coming through you, how many languages, if you know, do you speak, and do you know what they are?
I have not counted like my YouTube, like how many different ones in the YouTube. I would have to hold a template that allows me to mirror their galactic lineage back to them through light language. So for every person that walks through the doors, if they bring another lineage through that I've never connected to before, I will actually be able to, just because I open myself to do it and I set that intention, bring through that soul frequency and reflect it to them, which then activates them. These are codes of remembrance, I feel. This is the predominant role, the predominant reason why I am channeling all these languages. Because people may be like, well, why are you doing this? Is this safe? Is this dangerous? You know, what are you channeling? Da, 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 da. I will tell you that what I channel is predominantly codes of remembrance, multi-galactic codes of remembrance, multi-dimensional, multi-planetary codes of remembrance. And why would we want to remember? Well, that's a whole other subject, but I know you know how important remembrance is at this period in the ascension process of Gaia.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you decode light language? Is there a process? Is there a method? Can other people do it?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because you get a lot of people with a lot of opinions. I think there's quite a few people out there that hold the belief that you shouldn't need to interpret it. Now, you don't need to interpret it, but I also believe that it's your free will. So if you would like the interpretation, well, isn't it just our intention that creates our reality? So let's say someone begins to initiate, you know, say they go to a plant medicine ceremony, very common, and they have a light language activated. Well, some of these, as a shaman, you know, some of this shamanic language, it comes from more earth-based frequencies. Some of it comes from galactic shamanic frequencies. I very much identify with the role of galactic shaman because I feel that that frequency-based kind of transmissions there is part of shamanic work, right? With the song lines and the singing and the ikaro and all of that. But what I found is that you will have it activated, a person, anybody, honestly, I want to just talk to anybody who's had their light language spoken out. Light language activated. And at first, I don't really think that it's a matter of knowing exactly what you're saying. If you start too early in the process of developing your light languages to try to figure out what you're saying, like instead of just feeling what you're saying, you know, because it's okay, like you want to feel it. If it feels not aligned, you don't want to do it. But you're feeling, you're like, this feels good. Okay, great. Don't worry about what you're saying right now. Don't worry about what you're saying. You know, and I talk about this all the time when I'm teaching light language to people and development of light language. I say, when you give your 3-year-old crayons, a box of crayons, do you critique the way that they need to use those crayons, or do you just give them the piece of paper and the crayons and let them scribble? And you say, wow, that's so beautiful. Or do you say, well, that doesn't look like a house. What are you trying to make that be? Do you try to put, no, you don't do that. But when they get older, and they've learned to hold the crayon a little bit differently, and their finger positioning can do what it needs to do. Then you start watching them draw circles, and they say, "Oh, that's a circle. Oh, that's a circle. Oh, that's a square." And then the next phase is, "I'm going to draw a face. I'm going to draw a house." And light language is the same. That's my opinion because I've transitioned from simply helping people activate their light language because, in my honest opinion, that's happening regardless. I don't think we have to try too hard to activate our light language anymore. Like it's just happening spontaneously for so many people. So I've transitioned my
Absolutely.
work and my focus from activating, helping people activate their light language to literally helping them develop it. And the reason for that is because once we can refine our relationship with light language, we can use it in a more precise and intentional way to calibrate our own physicality, our literal DNA, and also flow it into the grids and the collective consciousness in more refined ways that carry out specific tasks. It is absolutely, for all intents and purposes, light language is a technology. And this is actually a little bit, I'll go in a big deep dive in that at the channel panel in West Virginia, but that's kind of my opinion on how and why you would decode it. Now, when I'm at a point now where yes, someone will come into session with me, but I always check in with their oversoul, their higher self, and their team. Like, what's the most aligned thing for us to do when they bring me their light language? Like when they're speaking it to me, do I reflect what it means? Do I witness? Like, what do I do? And then I just flow from there. But there have definitely been times where it comes in as clear as day. Either I'm speaking it or someone else's, and I get the interpretation. But I know that that's because in that particular case, the interpretation is what needs to come through. So that's the answer to sort of decoding light language.
Yeah, and I completely understand what you're saying. And I have a good analogy for why, in the very beginning, you don't want to spend time really here when the light language is coming from something way greater. And
Yes.
also out here, as someone who's done myself a lot of book writing, coaching, and running groups for that for authors, I have always told my participants, never, never, never edit while you write. Writing is a flow. Writing is a process. You get in a zone. The moment you start editing, you've completely changed hats. There is zero flow, and it's like a record. It's
Yeah.
really not positive for your writing. And there's a lot of people, that I've explained to, you must wait till you finish the first draft. That's it. You just write, right? When you write, you write. When you edit, you edit. Completely different. And it feels very much like what you were sharing. And I like that. That gives people permission, as you said, highly activated right now. So many people coming into their gifts, perfect, divine timing. And inherent in these gifts, also go with the flow. Don't edit yourself. Don't go into the mind to
Yes.
figure. Let it happen. And do you know then, JJ? When you speak or someone else speaks, are you, even if you don't know the meaning, are you able to know this is galactic, this is elemental, this is angelic, etc.?
Yeah, especially when the intention of them bringing through the transmission is for me to determine the origin of the language.
Oh,
So people
that's so
come to
cool.
me just for that information, not
Wow.
because it's necessary to be able to channel it, because again, their field and their gut and their heart is saying, this is a beautiful thing that's helping you connect with your soul. Well, I want to know more. Okay, great. And then again, like you said, not always easiest for you to interpret your own light language, so it's nice to have somebody reflect that. In fact, I've gotten the call to not only do this myself, but actually train other people in how to mentor others in light language development. Because again, the issue in this time that we're in right now is not if people are getting their light language activated. It is when people are getting their light language activated. So then you go, okay, well, our audience is no longer the newbie, it's somebody who's already speaking it. So what do we do? How do we help? How do we support them? How do we refine these gifts and these tools? Well, that's why I've literally, because I know I don't have all the hours in the day. I mean, I have eight kids. It's like I'm not going to be sitting in light language mentor meetings all day interpreting people. It's like we teach people how to do this, and I know you know this as with all the experience that you have. But it's really beautiful to be in that role where you can then go, yes, this is absolutely something you can develop beyond what we thought, I think, at the beginning, what it was for is being able to do that.
Boy, is that unique what you do? That really is a niche. I haven't heard of this before. Mentoring folks,
Yeah.
illuminating them, what's actually coming out of them. I love that. I love that for this planet at this time. And talking about the planet, you mentioned doing grid work also. What a blessing. So folks like yourself who do the Earth, the planetary grid work, what is that role that you play in humanity's ascension? Is it humanity? Is it the Earth? What is it you're doing there?
Sure. That's an interesting one. I actually feel that most people are doing grid work unconsciously. Because a lot of people will say, I don't know what grid work is, but I think I might be, there's that. The word that like causes people to go, eh, what is that? And I said, well, you're probably already doing it in your body. Your body's made of grids, made of energy grids. Shamanic work, you're literally working with the grids of the body. Same thing, but you're doing it with Gaia, which is a planetary body, or you're doing it with a body of water, or you're doing it with a city grid. An urban grid system is going to have also those energy conduits. Like, look at roads, that's what they are. But a lot of people call it service to Gaia. So if the word grid work is not gelling or not resonating with you, I highly recommend that you simply allow yourself to connect with the idea of service to Gaia, which, in my personal opinion, takes me right back to what I said to you at the beginning of our chat, where I talk to you about how my role, that I, one of the roles I play, I feel, is as a connector. And when you're working with the grids of Gaia, it's like almost like circuitry that you're working with. It's more complex, but in a basic sense, you're dealing with nodes of energy, so energy points, and the connections between those energy points that either are ready to be recalibrated, reharmonized, reconnected. The circuitry has kind of become wonky for many, many, many different reasons. So you're going into an area and you are holding a field, or how it, honestly, it's different for every person. You're singing frequencies, you're bringing crystals, you are just meditating there, either individually or in a group, and you are helping to harmonize and reconnect so that all the parts are working in sync. It's just like the human body. All the cells need to be able to somehow connect and communicate with each other. And so there are different parts of the planet that are obviously going to be like the body, like the brain, the heart. They're going to be the main places where it's very powerful. I mean, obviously, we've got Mount Shasta, we've got Sedona, you've got everybody knows kind of these places. I find myself there, obviously, for times. When you're going to those big places, though, those are not only planetary energy centers or chakras, they are galactic chakras. They're not only just for our planet, they're literally serving. I know it sounds so crazy to say this, but our planet is very, very important. In the perspective of the greater galaxy, with the role that she plays, just like something as small as your pineal gland can be so important for your giant body. This teeny tiny Gaia, this planet, is a very, very important part of the greater galaxy at large. And so when you're helping to reconnect through a multitude of ways, and I recommend that you allow your inner child to guide you with any sort of service to Gaia. The more fun you can have, the better, because if we take it too seriously, we get all stuffy and it clogged stuff. So you just have fun. You go and you have fun. It doesn't need to be super ceremonial unless you want it to be. It doesn't need to be super ritualized unless you want it to be. But whatever you do and however you do it with your intention, with your heart, you are affecting not only this planet, but you are absolutely taking actions and sending out frequencies that are rippling through the solar system and the whole galaxy. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And this makes sense what you're saying, because there are places on the planet where there has been war. And so there is a change in the harmony in the land, in the earth. There are places where there's been genocide. There's places around the world where there's been incredible climate change, tsunamis, and all sorts of things, even here in California with the fires. So it would make sense that these places need some love. They need some healing, and they need to come back on the grid and the ley lines. And so then
Back
what
to
is
source, honestly, literally. It's
it's a
just
what?
like, it's just back to source, right? You said
Source.
it. It's back to love. So, like, just really quickly to interject, when you said that, it reminded me that if this is still beyond you, like this whole idea, for those of you who are listening and you're like, I want to do this, but I don't know how, listen to me very carefully. It's all about love. So if you stand in a place and you flow love there, however that looks, feels for you, that's it. It's so simple. We don't have to overcomplicate it. So anyhow, I just want to interject
You know
that.
what? That reminds me, when I was speaking once, I speak about extraterrestrials and shamans and all of that and where they intersect. And I was speaking once and we had a Q&A afterwards, and somebody asked me about doing CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. So basically, contact work. And so I shared protocol for that, but I said, even with everything I just told you, here's the one thing that extraterrestrials have told me they look for: the heart. So you're talking about love regarding healing the land. For the extraterrestrials, same. They look for an open heart. And so if you can do a ceremony or some kind of experience, even if you're having fun for contact work, but open the heart, you will be more likely to have contact. So there's a theme here with all of this. And I know that you also, JJ, do something around galactic reconciliation. Very interesting. So, what is galactic reconciliation during this very amazing time of awakening and ascension?
Well, you literally hit what you brought up a second ago, which was you were talking about the wars, the places on the planet where there's been war. When you said that, it just reminded me to share that the wars that we have on our planet are a reflection of galactic wars that have happened, because everything in creation is a mirror of everything else. It's a fractal. And it's that law of correspondence, as above, so below, as within, so without. So the cool thing is when we are helping to harmonize here on the planet, it's radiating through the galaxy. But guess what else? When we are harmonizing through these projects, I've been doing projects, reconciliation projects. We did a Lyran lineage reconciliation project earlier this year. We did an Orion lineage reconciliation project earlier this year. And for those of you who know your galactic histories, or at least the timelines that a lot of the channelers on our planet have tuned into, because there are literally infinite timelines. Let's not go there. There are infinite timelines of every possibility, but the ones that are consciousness is most, it's the Lyran Wars. It's the Orion Wars. I mean, how many times do we hear about it? How many times do we hear about healers who have people come in and they're having literally still repeating trauma loops from the Lyran Wars, from the Orion Wars? Well, that's why I think, I mean, sometimes I'm just following my gut, following my heart, but this is why a seed was planted for me to initiate these reconciliation projects. I did one in December and one in January. So December 2024 and January 2025, Lyran and Orion. And what I found during those projects was that we were doing the work in the galactic, and that it was shown to us that it was rippling onto our planet, and that there are people, I will not say exactly names, but you can probably tune in if you're intuitive, who are living out loops that were initiated on galactic planes of existence. And because that loop has not been sealed off, that timeline has not been sealed, which is exactly what we did in our reconciliation project, was seal timelines off. So they stop looping the conflict. Those people are potentially still tapping into a certain degree to certain circumstances that they were playing out on the galactic planes. Because really, for all intents and purposes, everybody on the planet today, I don't want to say overarching 100%, but a large majority of the people that we know, especially those in the public eye, they are absolutely coming from galactic lifetimes. They have galactic aspects. This whole stage of Earth is being played out on the galactic stage as well. And so we're doing what we can here to affect there, and we're doing what we can there to affect here. And it's all about reconciliation, harmonization, and returning back to love, oneness, and source.
Amen. A woman, a sister. That's beautiful. So it feels like this would be a good time to do an energy transmission of some sort.
Yes.
Would you gift us with your brilliance?
Ah, yes, I would. It would be an honor. It would be such an honor, Debbie. I would love to just set the intention to call in codes of remembrance for those who will listen to this transmission that will give them clarity on their soul purpose as it relates to their next highest timeline. And I'm feeling and sensing, as I open this sort of portal of codes of remembrance, there's definitely a crystalline element to this. And so, not only is this for us to remember, say, lifetimes, it's for ourselves to remember the crystalline templates that are there but potentially dormant. And so I'll weave together some light language, some light codes, and some guidance here, and we'll see what unfolds for us in this beautiful portal of crystalline remembrance. So let's just begin by taking a nice deep breath. You can place your hands on your heart or on your belly, or one on the heart, one on the belly, and just begin to connect fully with the body. I will tell you that our invitation from our higher selves, our guides, our galactic teams, our families of light, is to remember that our commitment to Gaia is to stay fully embodied. We came onto the planet into bodies because there were those who volunteered to go through the ascension process in this density. And there are those above, quote unquote, who are also assisting, but we're the ones that said we will work from the inside of the bodies out. And there are those who are working with the bodies outside in, right? The Arcturians are helping us from the outside into our bodies. But we're here. You are doing this. These are the ground crew. And I want you to just focus on a color of light. It will be different for each and every one of you. This is going to be your galactic, your stream of galactic remembrance codes. Very unique to you, very unique to your soul template, your frequency. And it might be a gradient because I always have rule breakers. They're like, I see three colors. That's okay. For this group, I'm definitely sensing a lot of Venusian energy. So, of course, we have the Hathors, Kuan Yin, Sanat Kumara, Lady Venus, the Aurora frequencies coming in, the Aurora Rainbow Children, the Aurora Dragons, Kinakarai Tui Shanai Tokoya, Hia Tia no e Talahi Aria Tui Hia. A lot of you listening are very connected to Lemurian crystalline energies. So I have the Lemurian Star Mothers coming in. They are inviting us to focus on our belly button, literally our navel. It's an entry point for us to reconnect to our organic crystalline blueprints. The original Eden template. I'm also hearing that what's happening right now is there's a potential physical digestion misalignment for some of you. And I want to just invite you to flow harmonization into that gut because it's a digestion of all these new memories. Honestly, it's like if we're activating the memories, it's like we're like, how do I digest all of this that's flowing in, all this information? So it's a digestion of this information. I want you to imagine that you have a beautiful, large diamond placed on your belly button. Just this diamond placed on your belly button. And just allow that diamond frequency to harmonize. Kinakarai ki kiara kataya. Iashoto inikiarakaya. And this is a galactic council. Yatekiala Andromedan. Kianakaria. These are Andromedans I've never worked with before, so this must be they must be connected to some of you who are receiving in this container because these are not my personal like Andromedan connections, but I definitely know that they're connected to some of you here. Laikan they're saying Andromedan priestesses. Andromedan priestesses of the crystalline codexes. The evolutionary path of humanity. And some of you might know or have heard that Andromeda can be seen as our future selves, as if the Milky Way in its evolutionary path is actually becoming Andromeda. And the two galaxies were merging. And so I feel that it's almost like our future selves coming to, it's like, guess what? I know the end of the story. Here, I'm going to give you the cheat codes for this so that you guys know what to do. So they're like, here, we've got it. Like it like kind of throws me off sometimes because it feels like time when I connect with the Andromedans, time becomes very spiral. And it reminds me of the movie Arrival with Amy Adams, where they're in Montana, they've got those ships, and she really discovers that the language that these the sort of octopus squid-like interdimensional beings are doing literally creates a different time, a concept of time. It's not linear anymore. And so this is what I'm feeling the Andromedan bringing. Taking a couple of deep breaths, that diamond energy is now going to be released from the belly button. It has done its job. You can place your hands on your belly. And we now have stepping into the field, the crystalline children. And if this is a new concept to you or a new collective for you, honestly, I don't want to say too much because they're so incredibly just exquisite energy that you can just feel it, honestly, just feel it. Just receive the love that they're holding, the frequency that they're holding of purity and innocence, the hope that they have. It's very different from any other galactic collective I have ever connected to. And they have representatives from every single galactic family. They are a multi-dimensional, multi-galactic collective of crystalline children. It's a frequency, and it is absolutely connected to your own divine child aspect. And I want you to connect with your divine child right now. Have you ever thought to connect? We hear inner child a lot. I know we connect with our inner children a lot, but what about your divine child? This embodiment of the union between divine father and divine mother, Hieros Gamos gnosis energy, but embodied. And just feel, where is that in your body? Where is that frequency? It's there for you to connect to. It's connecting right to yourself. So taking two or three deep breaths. And we have also an angelic collective coming forward to support you in connecting with your divine child frequency. So just allowing yourself to open to this beautiful group of angelic beings. Seraphim and cherubim. And connecting with your own angelic aspect as well. Allowing yourself to reclaim your templates of purity and innocence. Bringing to completion any programming around what I call the fallen angel syndrome. Allowing yourself to say, I am done with that. I have learned everything I need to learn from that. I am ready to reclaim my templates of purity and innocence as a divine child of creation. And just finishing with that stillness and that tranquility and that peace, and connecting with your heart and just sealing all of this up in your heart space so that you can re-access it easily anytime that you want to. Kiana Asha, with gratitude and love for your beautiful physical vessel and all of the guides and collectives that came through to support this activation and this remembrance of who you are. Yashin, and I want you to know that I see you. I see your purity and innocence. You are worthy to be here, and you are worthy to carry out this great work. And there is hope. There is hope. There's so much hope, and there's so much love flowing on the planet right now. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And I am complete. Thank you, Debbie, for allowing me to do that.
Wow. That was very blissful. I had such goosebumps in the beginning when you first started speaking and channeling, and you have a way. I mean, I love the singing too, by the way. It was quite beautiful. And you have a very calming transmission. Very sweet and mothering at the same time. I can see why so many people are attracted to your work. And of course, the divine crystalline children is, oh, was really yummy. Yeah, I rather liked that. Thank you for that offering.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was beautiful.
For people who want to pick up on what you were saying earlier about the grid work, because you made it in a way that people can do it. And this is some of what I talk about. So I'm very excited you do this, is about the shamanic, the indigenous love for the earth, the fact that they have animism. Everything has a soul, everything is alive. And when you come from that perspective, we truly all are one. And so why wouldn't you give love and respect to this goddess that we live upon, who clothes us, feeds us, houses us, all our relations. And with that in mind, what can people do? Are there particular places on earth where the grid work is especially needed and potent right now?
Yes, actually, thank you for asking that. As soon as you asked that, I got a huge, it's like, yes, the waters. So, anywhere and everywhere that you can get in the water with your own body, which is holding a frequency. And when you go into the water, you are like a tuning fork in the water. So, the waters, fresh water, ocean water, any water at all, I'm immediately getting a ping. That is it right there. I'm also seeing you literally sing, but if you don't feel it, you can sing, bring like a speaker and just play with this. We have this incredible technology, right? We can play music anywhere, play frequencies to bodies of water by where you're at. And the other thing that I want to remind people is that it's important when you're doing grid work to be witnessed. So there's a law, it's almost like a law of being witnessed, that it anchors whatever you do in more when you have a witness for it. So two or more people. So whether you report to your community, to a friend, this is why we have our Starseed community. We have a forum there where people are like, oh, I just went and did this. I just went and did that. It sounds weird, right? They're like, well, they're just wanting to be whatever. It's like, no, this is an important part of grid work. So be witnessed. So go to the waters, be witnessed in what you do in the waters. And that is number one on the list right now, I think, for grid work, Debbie.
Absolutely, I can testify to that. I just literally just came back from a retreat in upstate New York, quite beautiful. Wow. And a river runs through this land, and these people have 51 acres, and this beautiful woman channels an extraterrestrial being. So there was many of us there at this retreat. And I was just overcome. I do sing, I professionally sing, and I felt such a desire to sing to the trees. And I was able during one of the breaks to go into a piece of the forest where there was a lot of trees and let them know I really saw them. I wasn't going to be another human just walking by without acknowledging their existence and their beauty and their wisdom. So I sat on a bench. And I sang to them and to the river. And I will admit, I was really hoping the Sasquatch would come out, the mommy, daddy, and baby
Oh.
Sasquatches. And they didn't come. But it was really very moving for me to connect like that with the land, with the trees, with the river. and show up like that. And I've never done that before. So bravo. So folks who are wondering, and your body is a conduit, the oceans, the rivers, all the seas are looking for us.
Yes, they are. They are.
Connect and heal. So what's next for you, JJ? Where can people find you?
Well, you can check out everything I've got going on at activationswithjj.com. Now, I will tell you this, okay? Remember, I told you at the beginning I have 8 children. That's a little bit about what Activations with JJ is like. I've always got like 8 things going on at one time. So when you jump in there, don't get overwhelmed. There's always lots to do. I have between in-person, virtual, grid work, light. I mean, there's everything. There's almost something for everybody in there. But I always say to people, when you go to the website, feel into it, use your intuition, and I would be so honored to connect with you through any of the different avenues I have going on right now.
Great. That's activationswithjj.com. And then at Debbie Dashinger, remember Debbie with an I and my last name Dashinger is a C. So DebbieDashinger.com/channel panel. And so you briefly said what you're going to be going into around the light language at the channel panel. What are you looking forward to being there in West Virginia in November?
Well, I'll be honest. I think that we are transitioning from more virtual. We're going back to more in person. And I think that it's extremely important for us to gather and to calibrate ourselves to be able to physically gather so that we can eventually carry out really large grid work projects that I don't think we can even like imagine right now. And doing something like the channel panel is giving us those baby steps to where we're calibrating, because impasse, like I don't know if I can go in public. I'm too sensitive. You know how it is. People have fear of going into these things, but I'm like, guys, this is the time to do it, to gather, to come together, physically come together. The power that we have when we are physically together, just like you were in New York recently. This is why, how crazy is it that somebody, no, I have no business going around the world. I got my family. I got so much going on. I have no business going around the world, but I will not stop. And I'll continue to bring my kids and my family with me because the call has been physically gather the star seeds together. We've transitioned now from the virtual now, and we can still do it, but now let's do the physical. So that's what I'm excited about with the channel panel.
And JJ, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? Future dreams and goals.
I see family-based grid work where we are going around the world and people are coming with children, with families, and it's easeful and it's joyful and it's fun. And we are blessing Gaia and flowing love into Gaia and teaching this new generation. Actually, they're teaching us, co-creating with this new generation, all new traditions, all new educational systems and literally co-creating the new earth without excluding the children. The children have got to be a part of it.
Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for this beautiful conversation and the work you do. I'm so happy to get to know you better. And
Oh, such an honor, Debbie. Thank you.
it's perfect. It is all perfect. And I end today's show with this reminder. When you remember who you are beyond this lifetime, the universe begins to speak your soul's language, and suddenly the entire cosmos becomes your mirror. Subscribe to this number one transformational conversation, the Dare to Dream podcast. Be sure to like, leave a comment. I read them. And next week on the show, I'm speaking with Marilyn Harper, who is a divine link for Adirondack and the Council of Light. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. And remember, there's so much you can do. So much you can do to connect with your multidimensional gifts, put yourself in the ocean to start to heal it with your body as a conduit, or just go to the land where you're called to and create some healing.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBI DACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream Podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.